Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we love you. Lord, we exalt your holy name. Blessed be his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Welcome to your Father's house. Welcome to the house of the Lord. And welcome all of you joining us right now online. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. And it is an honor and a pleasure to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. It is a blessing to be here and share the word of God and teach the word of the Lord, speak what's in the heart of the Father, and to congregate with one another, to be in fellowship with one another, to be in unity and communion with one another under the love of Christ. Amen. We bless his holy name. And I would like to start right away with our study for this morning. So let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we shall always love you for as long as we live. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your mercy. For your blessings, Lord, over our lives. For all that you have done for us, Lord. Thank you. And I pray, Lord, that as your word goes forth this morning, that you would open up the hearts and the ears and the understanding of every single person, Lord, here this morning, in Jesus' name. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will take over, Lord, right now. And you will speak, Lord, to both everyone here and everyone watching right now online. Lord, we love you, and we shall always love you. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, how many of us have been here for the past, I'll just say a couple of months, Sunday mornings. Most of us? Yes? Right now, we are in 2022 BCFC. It is the year of divine ruling. We are ruling divinely under the power of God. And there are various different areas that we must rule in. And this month is going to be the government of wealth. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to continue on where we left off last week. And if the Lord wills, for the rest of the month, I will be talking about all things dealing with wealth. And for starters, I would like to start out with a verse that I love very much. And it's hard for me sometimes to pick out what is my favorite verse in the Bible, what is my favorite story, my favorite passage. I have so many of them, but this one here I always find to bring myself to from time to time as a reminder. And that is John chapter 10, verse 10. Please turn with me to John 10, 10. Have we all brought our Bibles? Yes? Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10, please. Praise the Lord. And you're welcome to say amen once you're there. Amen. Oh, wow, that's most of us. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm ready for that, please. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Right there. The word of the Lord is saying that the Lord says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Have you ever stopped and thought about that verse and say, I wonder what this means right here. Life and life more abundantly. Maybe to you, you might have heard the expression, oh, just live a little. Right? When someone says that, what do they mean? Splurge a little bit. Do something nice for yourself. Go out of the way, right? Live life. Life. Good living, right? And here it says, more abundantly, life. I'll go ahead and introduce the title for this morning's message, and it is, Lord, where is my Porsche? Praise God. Now, despite our modest circumstances, I'm going to ask a question right now. Are we living abundant lives? Think about it. Despite of the lack of exotic cars, like a very fast German-made car, or a fast Italian-made car, or despite not having some type of mansion by the lake waterfront, are our lives better than we ever expected? Think about it. Or do we feel that life has passed us by? Where do we stand right now at this moment? And if so, could it be that we might need a change in perspective? What are your thoughts? Potentially to someone who might enjoy, let's just say, fast motorcycles, who might enjoy exotic getaway trips around the world, rock climbing, skydiving. Potentially to that person, they are living the life. But to someone completely different, they might rather enjoy, say, a rocking chair on the front patio, a vegetable garden somewhere in the backyard. They might enjoy maybe a round of golf once a week in the local golf club. Two completely different types of people, right? There's a gentleman that I came across by the name of Paul Getty. Have we heard of him? Paul Getty. At the time, perhaps, one of the richest men in the world when he was alive. He made a statement once upon a time that has been recorded, is in books, and it has been quoted. And it's an unfortunate statement of this rich man. And he said this, quote, I hate and regret the failure of my marriages. I would gladly give all my millions for just one lasting marital success, unquote. Imagine. This man possessed the money to live whatever type of lifestyle gave him the most satisfaction. But at the end of his life, he came to the realization that a good, enduring marriage meant more to him than any sort of money, any type of money. And unfortunately, he died feeling like a failure at life, and failing to give attention to what really mattered. And there is someone else that lived a very wealthy life, a life of power, a life of privilege that we all know, and that is a gentleman by the name of King Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes chronicles his lifelong experimentations with various lifestyles, with various projects, with countless possessions, all types of hobbies, creature comforts. But what does King Solomon ultimately conclude about how humankind should live? What is the conclusion? May I please have Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. The word of the Lord says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure.'" The most important part here for us to understand is this. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. In the days of your youth. You're going to benefit from this while you're still young. Give the Lord priority while you still have time, before the days become difficult and challenging. And then he continues. Also in chapter 12, let's move on now to verse 13 and verse 14. And it says, wait, hold on a second. Here we go. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." And here we go. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." You see here? His conclusion is totally compatible with our Lord Jesus' statements in our opening verse in John chapter 10, verses 10. It's every single thing. "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Our Lord Jesus did not come promising us wealth and prestige on earth, even though he does promise us these things in the world to come. Yes, in the world to come, there are promises for us that we wouldn't even imagine are waiting for us. We're going to have responsibilities. We are going to rule. But the Lord came with good news from his Father about how to attain life. And just like King Solomon's, the Lord's message is very clear. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments of the Lord. If you want to live a healthy life, if you want to have success in your business, if you want to be guided, all these things have to do with a relationship with God. May I please have Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. And it says, "So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.'" Keep God's commandments. So right now, the big secret is that the abundant life is contained in the keeping of God's commandments. That's where the secret lies. In tandem with the grace supplied through our Lord Jesus Christ. John writes in John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. May I have that, please? "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus came to give man the means by which we could probably keep God's commandments very well. His grace puts commandment keeping in its proper place. And it starts with one living his life this way every single day. And the Apostle Paul calls this walking in the Spirit. How many of us here wish to walk in the Spirit every single day? That's all of us, just about. Every single one of us. I can tell you right now, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I can't do anything. I can't do nothing. And if I want to have success in every single thing that I do, I must depend on the Spirit of God. You could do things a certain way. You could do things according to your knowledge, according to your skill, according to your qualification, and that is great. If I go to the doctors, I would like to see a doctor that graduated college, that has his degree, that passed the bar, and all those things, those strenuous 10, 15 years worth of school, right? So there's nothing wrong with that. But nonetheless, for those of us who want to go beyond, who want to experience the abundant life, we must walk in the Spirit. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to cover some verses here. We're going to start in verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. I would like for you to follow me here. And we're going to go all the way to verse 25, but we're going to start here in verse 16. And you're welcome to say amen once you're there. Amen. And the word of the Lord says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And then here's a long list, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies. Next, please. Thank you. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you, I've told you this before, beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, one does not separate from another. When we are led by the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is dwelt inside of us, this is a constant, constant thing. I've said several times that when we have accepted the Lord Jesus, we are sealed by the Spirit of God. God places a seal in us. And we must maintain what He has given us, this gift. And we must grow. But now that we have the Spirit of God, we just don't keep this spirit, and oh, okay, I have this label, I have this label as a Christian, I'm going to go to church, say once or twice or three times a week, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give all of that to the poor and whatnot. We must walk in it every single day. This is a lifestyle. The individual's life is naturally going to be abundant because that individual is no longer under the penalty and curses that is breaking the law of God. So, this is something constant. This is everyday living. His life will be pleasing unto the Lord. I'm going to say her also, his or her life. And the Lord will bless that individual now and in the life to come. Let me show you right now Psalms chapter 19. And I've included also verse 10. I was just going to give you verse 11, but I think it's appropriate for us to understand the background here. So we're going to start in verse 10. Psalms 19, verse 10 and 11 says, "More to be desired are they than gold. Yeah, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Did you know that there is a reward in serving God? We are all going to be rewarded both here and also in the life to come just because we serve and love God with all of our hearts. Every single one of us. King David disclosed this personal reaction to God's perfect law. He found the statutes desirable and enjoyable. He compared them here to gold and honey. He says, "Your law, your statutes, they are more precious than gold." Think about it. Your ways, serving you, God, is more precious than anything that is valuable right now. And this was the most valuable commodity in the ancient Near East. And he says, sweeter than honey, the sweetest substance known to the ancient Near East. And for King David, keeping God's statutes, which warned him of the danger of folly and sin, brought a reward. So who's to say that serving God with all of our hearts is not rewarding? I thought it was very appropriate for me to include a verse right now that speaks about just that in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8. May I have that, please? "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Amen? We were just talking about gold. We were just talking about honey. Look at what he says next. "Oh, taste and see that the God that we serve, our Lord God, he is a good God. And blessed is that individual who places their trust in God. In all that we do, in being guided by the Holy Spirit." Now, I believe next week, I haven't totally finished my sermon yet, but I believe I'm going to be talking about promises and conditional promises. And I think right now is a proper time for me to introduce to you some conditional promises for all of us. It's very easy for someone to speak about riches and to speak about blessings and how all these things are for us, but yet we forget what we must do for the Lord. See, many times we look at God and say, "The Lord, if we just pray a certain way and if we just do this and do that, the Lord is obligated to do something." When that's not the case. The God that we serve is not an order taker. We love God. We obey his commandments. We keep all his statutes. And the Lord says that he will bless you as a result. I want to start out with Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. It says here, the wicked man does deception work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. We have two entities here right now. We have a righteous man, and we have a wicked man. For all the wickedness that someone does, he will reap what he sows. However, when we trust God, when we walk in his ways, it says, but he who sows righteousness, that's speaking about right now. Right now. Sowing righteousness in the life that we live in right now. The Bible says, you will have a reward from God. You see here? Here's the condition. Let's move on now to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We all know this verse. Here's the condition. But seek first. That's the first thing you do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The last time I shared this verse, I preached about this verse, I picked up on something here that I have never seen before. And that is the word added. It shall be an addition. This will be how you're going to be spoiled by God. I'm not referring to a necessity. This is going to be added to your barn, to your stall. This is going to be multiplication of something that exists. But here's the condition. Seek first the kingdom of God. And not just the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God. Didn't we just read about a man sowing righteousness and he shall have a reward? But seek first the kingdom of God and the Lord's righteousness, and everything else will be an addition to you. Let's move on now to Revelations 11, verse 18. There we go. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And here we go. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, that's you and me, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. There's a lot of things happening right now. In men's meeting right now, we are going through the book of Revelations. We're almost done. What do we have, like three chapters left, right? I believe two chapters left. Wow. We're concluding the book of Revelation. It has been a blast. We have learned a lot. There has been times where we've been in a chapter for just about a month, right? Well, we only do this twice a month also. But nonetheless, there's a lot of things happening right now. But I want you to focus here in the center of the verse. It says, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great. There is a reward. And now moving on to chapter 22 of Revelations, verse 12 is going to wrap everything up here. And it says, and behold, the Lord is speaking right now. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to what? His works. According to every single individual and the work that they do for God. Now the question begs right now. And I've asked this question in the beginning of the sermon. Are we living an abundant life? Are we? Think about it for just a moment. Are we reaping the rewards of following God's ways of life? I decided to title my morning's message the way that I did, primarily to get a reaction out of you. But nonetheless, God has a special promise for every single one of us. And it could be anything. It could be a house. It could be something that you've wanted for a very long time. I am believing in the Lord, and I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I was debating last night, should I add this in my sermon or not? But I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's for the honor and glory of God. The Lord has promised me a Porsche.
Hallelujah.
He has.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I neatly decided to name today's message, Lord, where is my Porsche? Where is it? But I'm not wanting to bring this into the message here and saying that in order for us to live the abundant life, we must have all these lavishes and we must have all these great grand things. We must first seek the kingdom of God. First. Yesterday in my devotional, I was reading where the Lord promised Abraham, and he was still Abram, that he was going to give him a son. And Abraham conquered all these things. He saved his nephew Lot and whatnot. He was a blessed man. And then Abraham goes to the Lord and says, Lord, you see that I don't have children. Who is going to be the heir right now of all these belongings? Is it going to be my servant? His promise came 25 years later. Abram was 75 years old when God gave him that promise. And he didn't receive his blessing till he was 100. And Ishmael was 13 years old. And I've learned that in that time, Abraham was not spiritually ready. He was a rich man. He could afford anything. He was a blessed, blessed man. So it's not like he couldn't take care of a family or a child, but God was working on him. Imagine, just to have a son. So if the Lord has promised you something, he is true to his word. And maybe right now I might not be ready for my car. And it's okay, it doesn't have to be the latest and greatest. Or it could be the latest and greatest. I'll take that one. It could be an antique, air-cooled, 1990s, 80s, whatever the case might be. Right? Who knows? It's in God's hands. But nonetheless, I want us to understand that the abundant life doesn't exactly translate to materialistic blessings, I should say. Materialistic things. Your relationship with God and your communion with God is the very most important thing. Have we begun to enjoy the benefits of keeping God's commandments is the question right now. If we have a happy family and a happy marriage, we are reaping the benefits of keeping the fifth and seventh commandment. If people find us, you and me, trustworthy and honest, we are being rewarded for keeping the eighth and the ninth commandment. Think about these things. I'm going to give you one more. If we are content with our circumstances, our peace of mind derives from practicing the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's Porsche. Donkey. What am I talking about? Anyways, Lord, you know. Praise the Lord. If we are content with our circumstances. Right now, we are practicing the 10th commandment. And this is what's the most important. Moreover, brothers and sisters, if we see spiritual growth taking place in our lives. Last week I asked a question. Of all these sermons, of this series that I have been doing here for the last couple of months, how many of us have been blessed and we have seen results of it? And there were at least a dozen of you, and thank you very much for raising your hand, said that you have seen results from the Word of God, from the teachings that have been coming through, from the year of divine ruling for Baltimore Christian Faith Center. When we see this spiritual growth take place, this is what counts. And if we are producing good fruits in our lives, we are experiencing the results of a strengthened relationship with God. Encapsulating in the first four commandments right now, this strong relationship. And I'm going to conclude with this verse, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and verse 38. And it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." This is the most important thing. This is what we should treasure the most, a relationship with God. And such a relationship with our Creator is the key to abundant living. This is the key. For there is no greater, more satisfying accomplishment than that among you and me. And that is a strong relationship with our God. Amen?
Amen.
This is what we ought to value. This is what we are to put emphasis. Yes, I will speak about money, all right? I will teach here on something that I haven't touched on very much as of late, and that is tithing, the blessings of tithing, the blessings of offering, all dealing with wealth, financial gifts, monetary gifts. That's coming, but right now we need to lay a firm foundation, the basis of the most important thing, and that is a relationship with God. That comes first. And then we will be living a blessed and abundant life in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you love us unconditionally. And I pray, Lord, that we would devote our time to you, that we would give you our all, because, Lord, you deserve our all. And I pray, Lord, that we can develop this relationship every single day to be closer and closer to you, Lord, every step of the way. Lord, we want to abound in grace, in your mercies, in your love. Lord, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you would come and have your way, Lord, in us, in our lives, in all that we do. I pray, Lord, that we would love you with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all of our being, with all of our mind, with every single thing, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, how you take care of us, how you help us, how you lead us. Thank you, Lord, so much. I pray, Lord, that you will bless your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will do a mighty thing in the lives of every single person here today and every single person watching right now online. And as we always say, Lord, we love you. And we shall always love you for as long as we live. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.